Welcome to Healing with Worth, a podcast dedicated to healthy recovery and instilling hope in the wake of betrayal trauma. We are women that have experienced this intimately and want to support other women so they don't have to walk the path alone. We are not professionals, and the content of this show is not meant to replace therapeutic healing. If you would like to join a therapist-led support group to help your betrayal trauma, you may reach out to us at healingwithworth.org to join one of our free online worth groups. Now, here are your hosts, Janine and Naomi.
Welcome back to a new season of Healing with Worth. We're your hosts, Janine and Naomi. And for those of you who are new to the podcast, we are two members of the Worth organization. Worth stands for Women of Rebirth and Therapeutic Healing, and it was developed to give support to women who experience trauma due to their husband's use of pornography.
Today on the podcast, we have with us Kimberly Day. She is the director of the Worth organization, and we thought we'd have her on to share with us the many programs and services that are offered at Worth. Kimberly Day earned a bachelor's degree from BYU in psychology and then served a mission for The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. After her mission, she completed a master's in counseling psychology from Washington State University, but due to the turmoil in her marriage and eventual divorce, chose to work in financial planning, where she loved the structure and predictability of the numbers and projections. Thanks to a prompting of a good friend, she joined Worth in 2017, and now she is currently the director of the Worth program and started that in the spring of 2023, so not long ago. She lives in Olympia, Washington, and is an extremely proud mother of four amazing, energetic, and wildly entertaining kiddos. Kimberly loves chocolate. She loves story time and snuggles with her little children. She does not like dishonesty, and I don't blame her. Cleaning the kitchen after 7 p.m. and potty training. I agree with that. I don't like any of that stuff either. But she is passionate about helping women connect with their power and their voice. So welcome, Kimberly. We're so glad you're on the podcast today. Is there anything else you would like to share about yourself?
Just that I am extremely excited and I'm waxing a little nostalgic to be here with you today. As you just read, this is very deeply personal to me. This organization has held such a significant role in my own personal journey. Even though I'd been divorced and remarried, I had never really found the right resources to address the healing that I needed after leaving a sexually addicted marriage. I hadn't made the connections of the covert abuse, or the betrayal trauma was a new term for me, even though I had a master's in counseling. That was something that we didn't learn when I got my degree. And so it was extremely invaluable, my participation in Worth. And I joined both a married and a divorce group and fell in love with the program and started running my own groups. And then, as you shared, I have had the pleasure and the honor to be the director now and to associate with in the last 6 or so years, just amazing, powerful women. And it has been one of the honors of my life up to this point to just be part of what I consider a great work that we do here in reaching women where they are and in giving them resources and just connecting with them, even in some really, really hard pain, hard trauma, and hopefully lifting and facilitating their own healing, opening doors that otherwise wouldn't have been open. They wouldn't have been open for me had I not connected with this resource for me personally. And so as I am here to tell you and share about the program from the role of director, this is coming from a personal place as well, because I know the power participating in this holds.
Yeah, and I think that makes you uniquely qualified for the position that you're in. So as we were talking about things before we started recording, we realized that Naomi and I and Kimberly all joined the Worth program just about the same time. So within a couple of months of each other. So that's exciting and interesting. And I agree with you. I think that the connections and the interactions that I've had with women in this program are so valuable.
I agree.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah. So we kind of wanted to have Kim come on because, like we mentioned, she is the director of Worth now. And just felt like it would be a great opportunity to kind of have a little bit of Q&A, so to say, with her and allow listeners to understand a little bit more about the Worth program. So, Kim, why would someone want to reach out to Worth? What are some of the benefits that come with reaching out to Worth?
Oh, there is such a long list. Where do I start?
I know.
Well, in general, I'll start with a general promotion, if you will, to just giving yourself permission to do your own individual work in healing when you've experienced this type of trauma. We are learning, and this is relatively new awareness, that for most partners who have either big disclosures or big discoveries about their spouse being involved in pornography or other secret sexual acts, the impact on the partner receiving that information is, in most cases, parallels PTSD symptoms. And of course, there's a spectrum depending on a lot of factors. And that the purpose of our podcast today is not to go into all of that, of why this is trauma. But for so many women, this is the trauma of their life. And many haven't even given themselves permission to connect that word or the magnitude of the impact that they've experienced. Many find themselves trapped in self-blame patterns or self-doubt patterns of why can't I get over this or what's wrong, experiencing extreme levels of depression or hopelessness or overwhelm. Again, this is a call back to why this is trauma for many, many women. So there are a growing number of resources available as there is more clinical data and academic research showing the impact across many populations of the impact on partners who are married to those who have a sexual addiction. There are a lot of resources. They can be groups, they can be individual works, they can be trained clinicians or coaches. There's a lot of books, there are podcasts, there are blogs, there is a ton of research and resources out there to promote healing and healing practices that haven't been there for, this is relatively new within the last decade about. And so to begin your first question of why join a group, it is such an incredible difference. And I speak from my personal experience, having been through this essentially alone that led to a divorce and just never knowing what I didn't know. I was very functional. I had a master's degree. I had kids. I had gotten remarried. I didn't realize the magnitude of the healing that was still available to me, if I can give a call back to my own personal story, by addressing the patterns and the woundings that had happened in that first marriage. And so many other women are like that. They just move on, or they try to move on. Many are still stuck in the patterns. And so finding resources, especially trained resources, whether it be individual work or group work, ideally it's both, it opens doors wide that would not be open otherwise. Doors for healing, doors for growth, doors for forgiveness, even doors to be able to move on and move past. In addition, and I'll probably talk more about these later on, but it helps us learn really invaluable and essential skills for managing if you're in a current relationship, things like setting boundaries and how to do that effectively, how to connect. It also provides, and this is one of the biggest things about group, it provides the connection with other safe people. And that I couldn't say enough about that, to be able to have essentially a village of others who understand, who can empathize, who can support, who you can confide in, who you can be honest with about what your feelings are, your life experiences, in ways that oftentimes it's challenging to do in your social connections, even with your family or good friends in your, well, we'll say regular life. A group experience allows a lot of healing, specifically because of the group connections that are formed in that environment where you're sharing in this experience that you can't share in the same way oftentimes with others. It also helps you to identify what things you can do. What are things you can do that you can change to do things like self-care? Or what are things that you can do to promote your own healing and to encourage and to promote healthy patterns in your own relationships? And to know what those look like. So often women come with a mixture of healthy and unhealthy patterns they're trying to figure out and make meaning from and navigate, and feeling really stuck or overwhelmed in. To bring them to a group and break them down with all of our groups are run by clinicians, by therapists that are licensed in their states. They all have betrayal trauma training. So group work is really invaluable for that reason as well. There are others, but I feel like I could spend the whole episode talking about generally the advantages of group work or betrayal trauma group work. I do want to spend a minute or two highlighting why Worth and why our program, albeit I encourage any program that promotes healing for women and that advocates for their growth and their healing. Our program is unique for quite a few reasons. One is that we deliberately create space to address what I'm going to call spiritual wounding and the promotion of spiritual health. All of our clinicians are members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That does not mean anybody needs to come with any faith background whatsoever. But oftentimes, I say that simply to highlight that many times when you're having these type of trauma experiences, I would almost want to say all of the time, I haven't found an exception to this rule. This is so deeply personal that it often impacts our spiritual identity for a lot of reasons. Oftentimes, there's elements of spiritual abuse or spiritual trauma that we've experienced. There is usually a reframing of spiritual ideas as we try to fit that in on our beliefs, our values, what we've been taught, whether they're religious ideas or spiritual ideas, but our core values that guide our lives. This is almost universally, this is a place where these things shift and we question. And there's a lot of need for grief work around this too. And it can be tricky because oftentimes you go to a generic clinician, it can be hard to bring spirituality into that. Or if you bring it to a church organization, it's hard to bring betrayal trauma into it. So this organization, we try to make safe to bring that and to address that in a very non-judgmental and authentic way. Whatever your faith background, that is often impacted and becomes confusing. So that's one of the things that makes this program unique.
I totally agree, Kim. And this language, this new language that we have to learn, it takes time to learn that language and to identify some of the unhealthy patterns that have been in the relationship. If you've been in the relationship a long time, like I was, I had 26 years of my husband lying and psychologically manipulating me. And so unraveling from all of that really took some time. And it really does give us a place where we can hear other people's stories and we can identify the unhealthy patterns in our own personal lives. So yeah, I really appreciate you sharing all that. And I wholeheartedly agree with everything that you've said and just appreciate Worth being a place where I could do that.
Well, and especially that piece of like, when it comes to the spiritual side of things, right? It can be a really challenging experience to regulate what's going on and try and assimilate that with what your beliefs are and accommodate for those things. And so I think also there's a lot of hesitation when you have the kind, when you come from the faith background, that it makes it a lot harder to feel like things that are necessary, like boundaries and things like that, are a lot harder, I think, for people who have a religious background, because there's also a lot of spiritual abuse and manipulation that's used against them, and that we often will use against ourselves, right? In that, like, I'm not being Christ-like, or other people saying you just need to, you know, using these forgiveness, repentance, being Christ-like, being like Christ, are often become ways that those are used either as weapons against us, or ways that we weaponize those things against ourselves as well. And it can make it more difficult for us to make healthy choices for ourselves. And so I think that is one of the aspects of worth that helps us to really understand that that's not actually, the culture of the church is very different from the doctrine of the church and what is real and what is true and what God would want for us. So I appreciate that aspect of worth as well.
Yeah. I feel like we should pause and spend a little bit of time on this, because it's so common with the women that we find who come to us who have had similar type experiences, reconciling, what do I do with this and the impact that it's having on me and the feelings that are boiling up and oftentimes boiling over, and how do I make sense of and navigate this in a healthy way, or in a Christ-like way, or in just in the right way? And there's a paradigm that is often assimilated from a religious cultural kind of a institution that is often perpetuated in, this is how you do this. So for example, some version of, well, okay, he's doing these things. Well, what can you do? Well, are you having enough sex with him? Are you meeting his needs there? That's some version of, well, maybe if you were more
... fill in the blank.
Perpetuating a lot of the misunderstanding and further damage that is done to women, whether that be pushing them into a paradigm of, well, just do more and that will help the situation. There's a shifting of responsibility of, what can you do to help him not do this? Any anger that she feels, or any feelings of, when I said at the beginning, betrayal trauma, is because that there, it's often those PTSD symptoms are so strong. So there's a lot of dysregulation. There's a lot of out of control emotion, intensity. And you go into a church culture and that can be challenging. It creates a lot of challenges. I remember personally, after I had actually separated from my husband because
of an extreme level of acting out, I had to leave the house and take my very young infant daughter, find a place for us to stay, because when I discovered there had been lots of occasions of infidelity in the prior few weeks, she had refused to leave the house. So later, when I met with this bishop, very much to try to be supportive, to be Christ-like, to show love to him, and I remember the bishop comparing me to another wife whose husband had only done pornography, and she was so angry.
And I remember the bishop saying, essentially, oh, wow, I wish you could train women, which I laugh at now because that's obviously what I do. He's like, I wish you could train women on how to handle this. I have another woman who, and all her husband is doing is pornography, and she's so angry. I wish she could see how, and I think back on that.
Oh my God.
And I laugh now because, I was like, she had it right.
That's
bad. I hadn't done enough of my work. I was so disconnected from myself, so disconnected from reality, and the magnitude of what was happening, I was very much in this narrative of, it was denial? So disconnection. Denial. It was denial. It was denial. And yet it was promoted. I left feeling very proud of myself that I was doing things the right way. And I laugh at that now, because now I daydream it women and I say, all right, let's get angry. Yeah. You know, I don't always say that. I certainly don't just promote anger, but promote a connection with self and with reality and with feelings, and they're not dangerous. And again, that's a very different paradigm that women haven't opened up and given themselves permission to step into for lots of reasons.
Yeah. I think it's really normal, though. I think it's normal at the same time to go in asking, how can I help this? How can I fix this? Right. That's all we want. We're not.
Of course.
No woman ever comes into a situation like this thinking, okay, I shouldn't say no woman, because maybe some women have a lot more like, I don't know, guts, I don't know, to where they're like, oh no, heck no, I'm not doing this. And they walk out, you know, where I think a lot more women, especially women in the church, because of the doctrine of the church and the covenants and those kinds of things, it makes it a lot harder for women to actually do something different other than let me see what I can do to help. And if I can help him, then things will be better. Where, I mean, I don't know, Janine, if you went through this, that I did too. I went through a long phase where I tried to make things better and to help until I realized there's absolutely nothing I can do that is going to help. Like, I literally did everything that I could and nothing, there's nothing that I could do, because it was up to him. It was his agency. He was the one making the choices. And that's where I feel like it's important for women to know it's not your responsibility to get him to make different choices. It's his responsibility. Yeah. And he gets to decide if he's going to or not. And you get to decide what you're going to do with it, if he does or if he doesn't, you know? Yeah. And I think that's where it's really difficult, especially with that religious background, to come to terms with that even.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you brought this up, Kim, because it is an important aspect of the Worth organization in helping women resolve some of these spiritual injuries. And we would love to have you back on the podcast to talk more about those spiritual injuries as well, because literally we could have a whole episode around this. It's so important. But let's say that a woman really feels like she needs help and she's wanting to reach out to Worth and get into a support group. Kind of walk us through what the process is for a woman to be able to get help at Worth.
Yeah, absolutely. There is a website and we will have that in the show notes for you. It's healingwithworth.org.
Perfect.
Then right at the top, it says enroll. If you click that, it takes you to another webpage that gives you steps and more information of what that will look like. And there's an intake form you can fill out online that just takes a few minutes. So you fill that out online, and our intake coordinator, which right now is our amazing Markel, and you will love her if you call and get to connect with her, she calls and gets more information from you and gets you connected with a group. She also follows up and makes sure things continue to work well for you. Make sure the group is a good fit. You will also be given information on other resources. So we've really tried to expand what we can offer. Initially, when we all joined, I think it was pretty much these groups. It was a married group or a divorce group and their betrayal trauma processing groups. And that's still really the crux of what we do, but we've added a lot to that. A lot is based on the research and the models that have been developed by ABSATS, which ABSATS is the Association of Partners of Sex Addicts Trauma Specialists. Their model is that there are three broad stages in recovering from betrayal trauma. The initial phase is creating safety and stability. So we have a lot of resources around helping women do that. We have what's called a phase one class that gives you foundational understanding. You can stay as long as you want. And you can do it concurrently with your group, with your therapist-led group. But the class also is much more structured in giving you those building blocks, those basic concepts, things like boundaries. I love meeting new women as they come in and as they're sharing their stories and as they're learning boundaries and things like that. And sometimes they feel like they're just barely starting and they don't know what they're doing. And I want to hug them and tell them, you are doing so well. Because I didn't even have a concept of boundaries at all. I was like, the fact that you know the word, you are a rock star.
Right.
But there are a lot of these concepts that you don't really learn unless you're seeking out this information and this understanding. There are principles, not just for healing betrayal trauma. They're good life principles on how do you live and relate in human relationships in a healthy way. So boundaries, things like self-care, things like grief. There's just foundational understanding nuggets that are presented in this phase one class to give you this foundation. So again, that can be done concurrently. We also have individual coaches that you can take advantage of that will meet with you one-on-one and help you with wherever you're at individually. I think for me and for many women, having that individual personalized help to fine-tune what you need and help you to process exactly where you are. Betrayal trauma is complex. It's not just managing what he's doing and your emotions about it. It gets so big and so deep so quickly when you're looking at ongoing relationship dynamics that can be all levels of mediocre to quite severely damaging that are wrapped up in this bundle of ongoing trauma oftentimes. Plus, as you're trying to figure out how to help your kids and how do you manage life, all of this happens in the middle of you living your life and you don't get to hit pause and say, okay, hold on. I can't do anything. I've got to heal my betrayal trauma. It can be really invaluable to have somebody walking alongside you and giving you that one-on-one coaching. So we have that as a resource. So all of those, the phase one class, and then your group, and then these coaches that are trained to help that with those initial steps in creating safety for yourself. That often means, again, setting boundaries, identifying where you need boundaries, where there's safety violations. We don't talk like this in regular life. You don't even give yourself permission to think like this in regular life. Usually, it almost feels foreign initially sometimes to consider that your spouse, your person, this person that's your closest attachment is doing things that create a lack of safety for you or that are violations of your safety. And yet learning that and identifying that can be so validating because you're like, oh yes, that is exactly what's happening. And then I can do something about that rather than focus on helping him. And I loved what you said, Naomi, earlier about this so common and just so many aspects of our culture, the subtle shifting of responsibility to quite frankly, the more responsible partner for behavior that is not theirs to own. Mm-hmm. And we get caught up and trapped trying to take responsibility and control what somebody else is doing that it's just not ours. Not only are we making no progress, but we're not dealing with the real issues. Mm-hmm. So these core resources here at the beginning help to clarify what are the core issues? What are they for you individually in your life? What's happening? And what can you do about that? And it's amazing with given just the permission to do those first fundamental steps of creating safety and getting some control over your situation and that internal control as well as external control, mm-hmm. how rapidly women can move into a space of feeling relief and feeling hope again, sometimes after having that hope really be gone for a long time. So that was a long-winded explanation of how to get in. Once you're in, we've got all sorts of new, exciting things in addition to that. But I'll wait for the next question.
Okay. So a woman wants to join WER. She goes to the website, clicks on the link. She'll create an intake form in which Markel will get back to her and place her in a group if she would like to be in a group. And that group will be with women who are in the same space, meaning these are women who are just finding out, they're just like they're new to worth. They kind of tell me how they're put in a specific group.
This is an extremely complicated scientific method.
Okay.
You ready? They're put in a group based on what fits with their schedule.
Okay.
We ask them, what days are you available? Mornings or afternoons or evenings? Okay. And then we do differentiate, because this is important. You want to be in a married group because you're married and you're working on that. You're oriented in that direction. Or do you want to be in a divorce group? In that meaning you're divorced or going through divorce or seriously considering divorce. Those are very different orientations. So we do separate those. But other than that, one of the beautiful things I think about worth is there's such a breadth of experience where you're in your group. You will have women who are brand new, who are raw, who are in the throes of trauma. You'll have women who've been working solidly on their progress, who've been there for a while. And I love my groups. I'm smiling at Naomi because she's been in one of my groups for, I think, since the beginning of time, almost since I started. I just love having these rock solid, awesome people who have just been pure and who are a stabilizing force for the rest of the group. And it's so invaluable to have this blend and this mix where women who are new are coming in. They look to not the therapist, because sometimes I walk in and they're like, "Oh, Kim's here. We're talking." But they look to the women who are their peers, who have been doing this a little bit longer than they have, and they can get that hope. And they're like, "Oh my gosh, she is so awesome." I can't tell you how many times women have said, "Oh my gosh, Naomi is so awesome. I want to be like her." I think I actually said a lot of times. I don't want to say when I grow up.
But you know what she was called in our group?
What?
The boundary queen.
That is perfect. That is perfect. She is. She is 100% the boundary queen. She is a master.
Okay. So when you come to a group, what should you expect? Like, what does that group look like?
Okay. Well, they're very open. We have a lot of therapists that have their own personal style, and they'll all look and feel differently. And I say that for a couple of reasons. One is to acknowledge that sometimes you get put in a group that doesn't feel like it's the right fit, and that is okay. Mm-hmm. We're like, great, that happens, and we can move you to a different group, and that no questions asked.
Perfect.
So there certainly is finding a good fit that we give women latitude to say, okay, what's good for me? Because we're wanting to encourage this skill of tuning into themselves, being true to themselves, being connected with their feelings. Now, that doesn't mean you are never going to be made uncomfortable. I pretty much guarantee you're going to be uncomfortable in our groups, at least a little bit. And that's not a bad thing, because we are venturing into spaces that are difficult, that are challenging. You're going to hear stories that will make you cry. And that they will resonate and reverberate in parts of you and your stories that you haven't quite explored yet. And it opens the doors to awareness and self-exploration by hearing others. And that's a beautiful process and sometimes not a ton of fun. We do a lot of laughing. I try and we have fun. There's emotion. There is permission to be real and to come as you are in these groups. What to expect, the basic structure that I think most of all of our therapists follow is that you're given time when you come in, if you want to introduce yourself, to share your story. No pressure. If you don't want, you can do, the first time you join, maybe pass and do it a later time. But the permission to share your story in a way that maybe you never have. Many of these women have never shared their story. Yeah, I think is invaluable permission just to give someone to say, we're here to listen to your story, whatever you want to share with us. And these are confidential groups. So what is shared doesn't leave the group. So if you want to share things that you haven't shared with anybody, you can do that. So there is a space for sharing of stories, especially early on. Now, that's not what we do every time. Usually we do that again when we have a new lady or on occasion. but most of the time, there's often a check-in on a check-in question where the needs of the group is assessed, and then we go into processing what people need. What are the themes that came out of the check-in? What are the heartaches? What are the griefs? Who needs space to just voice frustration or what's happening, or ask a question and get feedback? So they're very fluid, and they are created and generated out of the women and their experience and being together in this group. Some of the therapists have a lesson or a lesson to pull out, but most of these groups are just permission to process what's happening. And then we end and we say, we'll see you next week.
And they're weekly groups.
Yes.
So earlier, Kim, you had mentioned a few other groups and groups that women can get involved in. You want to share briefly about those groups?
Yeah, I will just mention them largely by name here, because I know that's not the purpose of this episode. I hope we'll be able to revisit that at another time. But we also have a mentor-led program where women, usually who've established that safety and stability, that are the goals of that first phase of healing. The second phase of healing in this ABSATS model is grief work. And that can be done in the processing group, and certainly is, surely is. The mentor-led group is, I won't go into a lot of detail here, but that is another resource. We also have an advanced healing processing group. And we've also just recently launched the Worth Education series that are more classes or curriculum around a lot of topics related to women who are experiencing betrayal trauma that can be enriching and can be great supplemental content. That's part of a program as well.
Perfect. So a woman would go into the processing group initially.
Yes.
And then from there, depending on her recovery and how what she's experiencing and how she's feeling, then she could also explore these other groups at some point.
Absolutely. Exactly. Okay. You got it.
Well, we definitely want to make sure that we discuss these other wonderful groups that Worth offers. And so we will have you back on the podcast to do that.
I look forward to it.
Well, Kim, I am glad that we had this opportunity to talk to you and put this information out, just because I think it also is helpful for people to know what to expect, because sometimes you hear like, oh, join this group, and you're like, why should I, you know? And so I think this is really helpful for people who might be considering or looking for support to kind of ease their mind about what it is, what it looks like, and how it'll go. And I just want to give voice to the fact that this, although there may be some hesitancy to join a group, I am forever grateful that I chose to do that, because as scary as it was also the most life-changing thing that I could have ever done for myself. And so if you're out there and you're questioning whether or not to join a Worth group or to get involved in some way, shape, or form, like Kim said, there are many options to this. I highly recommend just going to that healingwithworth.org and signing up. Even if you don't, you get through to it and it just maybe isn't the right fit, that's fine. But at least maybe try and take that one little step just to see what it's like. It's going to be a good thing for you. So thank you, Kim, for all of your information and for sharing with us. And we will see you next time.
Thank you, ladies. It's been my pleasure.
Thanks for joining us this week on Healing with Worth. Make sure you visit our website, healingwithworth.org, to enroll in a therapist-led support group or to check out our blog. If you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes or wherever you may listen, or simply tell a friend about the show. Be sure to tune in next week for our next episode, because you are worth it.